Welcome back to the Community Online Podcast. Remember, you can always find us on Sundays streaming live at communityonline.tv. We hope to see you there.
Hello, everybody. I'm here with Tammy and with John. And I don't know about you guys, but I had such an easier time making friends when I was a kid. And it seems like each year, as you grow older, it gets incrementally more difficult to make friends.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are Seinfeld fans. I'm a huge Seinfeld fan.
Yeah.
He's got a great bit about this. I don't know if you've heard it, where he talks about how easy it is to make a friend when you were a kid. It's like you walk out your front door and any person that was not an adult that was near you and shared one thing in common was instantly your best friend. It's like, we are now best friends because you like Cherry Coke. I like Cherry Coke.
Yeah.
This was destiny, right? Yeah, like we now love each other.
So true.
What was it like for you guys?
My neighbor was literally like, you hold baseball, I hold baseball, we play baseball together. Even though he was so much older than me. Like he shouldn't have been
hanging out. What year BC was this that you were talking that way?
I wasn't very smart as a child. So that was so true though. You'd like walk into the neighborhood and any kid there, the bike would be on the street. You'd be like, we're gonna be pals.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah. Let's roll.
Definitely gonna jump this thing off a curb. It's going to be amazing.
We're going to crash somewhere.
Yeah. So many times when you're kids, it's whoever lives next to you.
Yeah.
Because I had two boys that were younger than me. So, you know, just because they were there, I'm playing Matchbox cars.
Yeah.
I'm playing football in the front yard. You know, it's just whoever is there, you just become friends with.
Yeah. And it's so much harder as an adult. There's so many other things that get in the way. And I think
you text, then you email, then you coordinate, then you cancel plans, and then you try again.
Yeah. Half of the relationship is trying to schedule a time to get together. That's maybe 90% of a relationship.
Well, and maybe some of it too is we put expectations on instead of just like, who's there? I'll be their friend.
Yeah.
Oh, they have to be this and they have to be that. And we have to connect on this and we have to have this in common.
That's true. And life just gets so much more complicated.
Yeah.
Right. And I think in the same way or in a similar way, there's one thing to be called to be a disciple of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think as we step into a relationship with Jesus, we sort of get that. We're like, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be his disciple. But then he calls us to be more than that, right? He calls us to be a disciple maker as well, which seems so much more difficult and kind of like mind-bending for so many of us. Mm-hmm. Why do you guys think that's so much more difficult for people to wrap their minds around and to do than just the being a disciple part?
Well, initially what comes to mind is I think sometimes we put up an expectation on our minds that somehow if we're going to say we're a disciple maker, that we think we're all that.
Yeah.
That we think we're some kind of spiritual giant or, you know, and that's not really what it's about.
Yeah.
But I think in some ways we feel like we have a twisted idea that somehow being a disciple maker means I'm taking a position of authority over other people.
Yeah.
And again, that's not what it's about.
Yeah. And we almost always make the mistake of assuming people don't want to be invested in by us. I talk to my wife sometimes. She's not very extroverted. And I always joke with her that I'm like, people want you to say hi to them. Like they're actually okay with it. If you
like
go
it
up
matters
and,
to them
like
that
they
you're
like
here.
It. They want it. Like they're happy when you talk to them. And I think the same thing can be true with disciple making. That's like people want to be invested in, but so often we're like, I'm sure that they wouldn't want that from me.
I think that's so true. And I also think that we've sort of made this distinction between a disciple and a disciple maker that really doesn't exist, right? Mm-hmm. Because being a disciple is being a disciple maker, right? To follow in the way of Jesus, we have to do what Jesus did. And
that's
he made disciples, right?
Yeah.
And so we've kind of made two categories as if two categories exist and we can choose.
So true.
Right? And so I think it's so helpful to remember that. Mm. And that's why we're so excited about this Disciple Maker series, as we're going to challenge you and us and all of us together to step into that disciple-making lifestyle that Jesus calls all of his followers to. And that's why I'm really excited to talk about this today. Over the past year, we have challenged you over and over again to live as a disciple of Jesus. And do you remember the definition of a disciple that we've given you? A disciple of Jesus is a person who hears from God and does what he says. A disciple isn't just someone who believes certain things about God, as important as those beliefs might be. A disciple is someone who hears from God and then obeys God. A person who listens to the wisdom and the commands in Scripture, in particular the teachings of Jesus, and is attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit in the daily moments of life, and then does what God says. And if we're going to live as Jesus' disciples, we listen and obey. And one of the clearest commands Jesus has given us is to be disciple makers. In what we know as the Great Commission, Jesus' last words before he returned to the Father in heaven, Jesus said this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." We are all called to be Jesus' disciples, but we're also called to be disciple makers. Disciple making is the relational process of investing yourself in the life of another person for the purpose of helping that person find their way back to God. That's the baptizing part of the Great Commission. And so that they could grow as a disciple of Jesus. That's the teaching them to obey part. Jesus was a disciple maker, and he calls you to be disciple makers. Just to be clear, the person you invest in is not your disciple, they're Jesus's disciple. But you have an important role to play in helping them live in to that identity. And yet I'm betting that many of us have a hard time seeing ourselves as disciple makers. Perhaps you think, well, I don't know enough, or I just don't know how, or I don't have the time, or my favorite is, isn't that the job of pastors and the church staff? Now, as a disciple of Jesus, it is my job, but it's your job too. You have an opportunity to make a life-changing difference in the life of another person. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to challenge you to live into your calling. Maybe you need to tap back into that childlike quality that enabled you to connect with the people right in front of you. It is in you. And during this series, we're going to challenge one another to carry out the role Jesus has called us to learn how to be disciple makers. And we're going to zero in on one prominent disciple-making relationship that we see in the Bible. It's the relationship between Paul and Timothy. I think most of us are at least somewhat familiar with Paul. He wrote a large portion of the books that we find in the New Testament of our Bibles, and he was a key leader in the early church. But one of the most important facets of Paul's life and ministry is that he was a disciple maker. And one of the primary people that he invested in was a guy named Timothy. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. And it seemed Paul was drawn to Timothy right off the bat. In the book of Acts, we read this, "The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. And as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers." Paul was impressed by Timothy's reputation and character, and he invited Timothy to join him on his journey. This invitation marked the beginning of their disciple-making relationship. And we see that they both had an impact on the people and the churches that they traveled to together. Which leads to something important that we should recognize right at the beginning of our disciple-making journey. Disciple-making isn't just a one-way street. The person who is in the role of mentor, in this case Paul, is blessed just as much, maybe even more, than the person that they invest in. Paul now had a partner in the journey. And near the end of Paul's life, you can hear the deep affection and mutual benefit this disciple-making relationship had for both men, as Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 3, and 4. He says, "I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." When we invest our lives in another person, we discover over time that the person we journey with helps us just as much as we do them. It's a two-way street. I love what author Simon Sinek says about mentors. He writes this, "Mentors just keep saying yes. It becomes more like a friendship because a mentor always has time for you and they learn as much as they teach." When we enter into a disciple-making relationship with someone else, they end up blessing us just as much as we do them. So, maybe it's beginning to sink in that you're not only called to be a disciple, but also to be a disciple maker, someone who brings another person along on the journey. If you're beginning to grasp that, your next thought might be this: where do I get started? Well, we think it often starts with what we call an I see in you conversation. We sometimes like to say that the four most important letters in the English alphabet are I, C, and you, because there is power when you look someone in the eye and tell them that what we see in them or what we believe God sees in them. Maybe you've experienced that at some point in your life. Maybe someone's pulled you aside, looked you in the eye, and told you what they saw in you. It may have been a grandparent or a teacher or an athletic coach, someone in your work environment, or maybe it's just a good friend. And often what they said they saw in you, you never saw in yourself. That can be just totally life-changing. I can think of a couple of these sort of pivotal conversations in my own life. One was with a guy named Kurt Vickman. Kurt was a youth pastor at a church in the city where I grew up. And I was just starting in high school when we met, and he saw something in me. And he saw way more in me than I saw in myself. And he invited me to lead alongside him as like an intern. And he gave me opportunities to lead, opportunities to teach, and opportunities to be around other amazing leaders who were leaps and bounds ahead of me. And he might not have called it a disciple-making relationship, but he definitely discipled me. And I'd be willing to bet that Paul and Timothy's disciple-making began with an I see in you conversation. Paul saw something in Timothy, perhaps even something Timothy didn't see in himself, and he invited him to join him on a journey. An I see in you conversation can be the spark that starts someone on a journey of becoming a disciple and you becoming a disciple maker. So, how do you identify your Timothy? What is it that you're looking for in someone that you could come alongside as a disciple maker? What are the things that you need to see in them? Well, there is so much that we could say about this, but I want to briefly look at three critical qualities to look for in your Timothy. The first quality is this: relational velocity. Relational velocity. This person you may disciple is likely someone with whom you already have at least the beginnings of a friendship. There's a growing trust between you and this person that you can build on. You may not be the best of friends, but you sense the trajectory or direction of your relationship is moving in a good direction. And you could see yourself getting closer and closer to this person over time. Jesus had a genuine friendship with his closest disciples, and he passed on to them what he learned from God. And that's exactly what Paul did with Timothy. He passed on to Timothy what he learned about following Jesus. And in turn, Timothy passed that on to others who passed it on to even more people. So the first quality is relational velocity. The relationship's heading in the right direction. The second quality is practical availability. Notice how Luke describes what occurred between Paul, the disciple maker, and Timothy, the disciple. Luke says that Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Clearly, Timothy made himself available to Paul in such a practical way that he was able to accompany Paul on his missionary journey. Now, I also need to say this. Timothy chose to prioritize being with Paul. He made himself available to the more important things with Paul. Paul didn't just choose Timothy because he was sitting in the corner picking his nose every day. He saw him busy doing good things and invited him into something better. Don't say no for someone you see as busy. You will both need to make a decision to prioritize the journey. As a disciple maker, you will invite this person into your life, your home, your activities. They need to see what it looks like to practically live out what it means to follow Jesus at home and at work or at play. And even if this person can't be with you in every one of those contexts, they need to be available enough for you to talk about and reflect on what it means to follow Jesus in all the areas of life. So, look for someone who has the qualities of relational velocity, right? Practical availability. And the third quality of spiritual curiosity. Spiritual curiosity. When you're thinking about being a disciple maker, the person you would consider discipling needs to be someone who is spiritually curious. And again, this is about direction. They've not arrived. They may not even be a Christ follower yet, but their actions indicate an interest and a desire to grow and to learn. So again, the three qualities to look for: relational velocity, practical availability, and spiritual curiosity. Once you've identified your Timothy and had an ICNU conversation with him or her, a great next step is to take advantage of our incredible U+ discipleship conversation resources. You can simply point them to uplus.info, and this conversation will set the stage for relational disciple making as it provides a great way for you to help someone else take next steps in the U+ life and to set goals in the three key relationships of life: U+ God, U+ the church, and U+ the world. Now, just in case you need a little refresher on this resource, let's take a look at this video our team put together.
When Jesus spoke these words to his first disciples, he called them into a relationship that would transform every area of their lives. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God used them to turn the world upside down. Here at Community, we invite you to step into that U+ life that Jesus offers. And having a U+ discipleship conversation is a great place to start. It's a conversation you can have with any Christ follower, someone in your small group, a team leader, or a friend. It's a conversation that will help you create your own unique discipleship plan. The U+ discipleship conversation is designed to give you a place to process your thoughts and enter into a dialogue about where you are on your U+ journey, your connections with God, the church, and the world. We hope this conversation can be a source of encouragement, challenge, and accountability as we help one another become more like Jesus. Disciples Making Disciples is the way it was always meant to be. And we designed the U+ discipleship conversation to help you discover the U+ life and be able to help others do the same.
So, Tammy and John, I'm curious to hear from you. Who's somebody in your life that maybe saw something in you?
Well, actually, one of my earliest memories of someone speaking that into me, I was in sixth grade, and I absolutely loved my sixth grade teacher. She was just awesome. Like, I don't know. To this day, we're still friends. But I loved my sixth grade teacher. And I'll never forget, one day I was walking down the hall and she came up to me and she like grabbed me by my shoulders, just, you know, gently grabbed me by my shoulders, looked me in the eye and said, "You should be our student council president." And that's really all she said. But in that moment, I even remember as a kid, is the first time anyone ever called me a leader.
Yeah, it's so good.
Like, I just felt that all of a sudden being called out of me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she invested in me in ways that were above and beyond her job from that point on.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How about you?
It was about the same age, I think sixth grade, that I remember I was at a summer camp with the church, and there was a college 22-year-old who was the intern at the church, and I was walking by, so he was sitting there, I think, talking to somebody else, and you could just tell I was like head down, sixth grader, kicking rocks or something like that, you know, and he looked at me and said, "Hey, Junk, come over here. Hey, like, I really feel like you've been leaning in this week to this time that we've been spending together. Like, I think you need a mentor. I think I want to be a mentor to you if that's something you'd be open to." And it was so cool.
Wow.
For the next 7 years, he and I would meet almost every week, you know, but it was always simple, Burger King, French fries, conversations, hearing how my week was. And I just know I was forever marked by this, someone seeing something in me and being willing to have that conversation.
Wow.
That's so cool.
It's awesome.
I love hearing those stories. And if you're hearing this and you have your own story, and I want to encourage you guys with this as well, to thank them.
Yeah,
you know, what a great opportunity to remember these stories. But now let's use that opportunity to thank these people who have really seen something in
us. That, yeah.
And it's so, so powerful. Now, I'm interested in the other side of that question too. Like, who is somebody in your life that you see something in right now?
I love that. I actually was challenged by this mentor that he said, you need to do this for other people. Mm-hmm. And so at almost every season of my life, I've intentionally tried to figure out who's that person right now. I think right now for us at Community Christian Church Lincoln Park, it is our worship pastor, Marissa, who's just finished up with college, is so gifted. We love her there so much. And it's just been the intentionality of being over and over again saying, Marissa, you are a leader. You've got this. We love and need the gifts that you're bringing to our community.
Mm. That's good. I think for me too, it's now I'm one of the older women on staff, so it's this qualifies just about everybody on staff, but especially the younger women on our staff, you know, again, because that's who I spend a lot of my time around, the staff. Mm-hmm. And I just see like such gifts and potential and talents in these young women. And like, it makes me just want to pour my heart into them in some way. And in some ways it's like when I was their age, I didn't necessarily have a lot of older female mentors that were in ministry, like where I was serving. And so in some ways it feels like, oh, I have an opportunity to be for them what I would have longed to have as well.
That's awesome. I love that. So in the same way, you know, we thank the people who have seen something in us. Mm-hmm. It's so important that we also tell the people who we see something in, right? Because I think sometimes we see something in a person, but we don't share it with them. And so—
Or we tell other people about it, but not them.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, well, I think they would want to know that, right? They would be very interested in these things that you have to say. So I think that's super encouraging to hear those stories and to be just generous in our thanks and in our encouragement of others. You know, as I think about the story of Timothy and the example of Paul and Timothy, I really resonate with Timothy in a lot of ways in my own life because Timothy was the beneficiary of actually a lot of mentorship.
Yeah.
In fact, Paul points it out to him in 2 Timothy 1:5. He says to Timothy, Paul says this, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." It's such a beautiful
family
chain,
line there,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, that family line from Lois to Eunice to Timothy. Mm. And as I reflect on the people who have really been influential disciple makers in my life, it actually is my grandma and my mom.
Yeah.
They were two of the most influential followers of Jesus in my life in such really significant ways. I mean, my grandma, we called her Ama. She was like this radically loving person. She was like this so loving and so kind. It was like, is something wrong with you? Is this real? Like, what is... But as a kid, it was just like I felt just enveloped in her love and her love for Jesus.
What a safe place that was.
It was such a safe place. Yeah. And she actually helped my mom find her way back to God.
Okay. Wow.
Who every morning when we had breakfast quickly before school would read scripture to me.
Oh.
And that was such a fundamental and foundational part of my discipleship, being made a disciple. And that's really the opportunity that each of us have with the people in our lives. Maybe you're the beneficiary of such a line. Maybe you're the person who's going to start that line. But this is the call that each of us have to be disciple makers.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Our mission is to help you find your way back to God. And by listening today, you've already taken your first step. And we'd love to help you take a next step in your relationship with God, the church, and the world. It's how we're all embracing the flourishing life that Jesus talks about, a life we call U+. Visit communitychristian.org to take a next step, learn more, give generously, and plan your visit. We hope to see you on a Sunday soon.